The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 4th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. I'll tell you what, doesn't feel like February outside, does it? It's a beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area and a perfect day to talk college basketball. We got some college football to get to a little bit later with some win totals, some early college football win totals, according to FanDuel. So we'll get to some of that here later in the show today. But Auburn basketball, the number one team in the land, back in action tonight. They're hosting Oklahoma inside of Neville Arena, plus a couple of other big-time games in the SEC around college basketball as well. So we will be discussing those, giving our picks, have some fun conversations about the SEC a little bit later on as well. So looking forward to what should be a great show here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin in the studio as well. What's up, my man? Happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday. Yeah, I know. I threw on a long sleeve shirt, walked out the door, and immediately regretted it. Didn't look at the weather app beforehand. Didn't think I needed to because, a couple days ago, the Groundhog said there's six more weeks of winter. Sure doesn't look like it outside right now.
I mean, do we really listen to an animal? Seems kind of old school, doesn't it?
That's what I live my closet by.
Couldn't tell you what. I could not tell you if my life depended on it when Groundhog Day is.
Or where he lives or she.
I could not tell you. Could not care a single bit less. So whatever he said, I hope he said it's going to be 70 in February because that's what we've got outside. And so, again, lots to get to on the show today. Auburn basketball tonight against Oklahoma. They will be back in action as the number one team in the country yet again, 20-1 overall, 8-0 in conference play. Oklahoma steps in at 16-5 overall, 3-5 in SEC play. That's after an 0-4 start is what Oklahoma had to start SEC play. There was a moment, I believe Texas and Oklahoma were both 0-4, combined 0-8. In their first conference games inside the SEC. The Sooners have since turned it around, though. Should be a fun game. It's a late night tip, so for those of you who are going to be in attendance or staying up watching it or listening to it, going to be a late night for Auburn, but they host the Sooners coming in tonight.
And if you're not going to be in attendance, find somebody that will be. Simple as that. Find somebody that wants to go to Neville Arena and that's planning on being up for the late tip. Again, 8 p.m. inside the jungle, inside Neville Arena. Auburn, a 17.5 point favorite, which
doesn't seem right.
Again, it feels like one of those games we've talked about during college football season to where any feels like a 35 point spread or whoever. And it's like there's just, even if that is what hits, it just feels like it's a very scary line to have to teeter with. Oklahoma playing some of their best basketball of the season, as you mentioned, coming off a 30-point win over the Vanderbilt Commodores, putting up almost 100, beating them 97-67. And what was the bench stat category that you were reading right before the show? They're outscoring their opponents
nearly by 40 points in the last four games.
Jeez.
Yeah, Oklahoma's bench has come on strong in these last four games where they have gone 3 out of 4. And what's wild about this Oklahoma team and their resume right now is that Vanderbilt win was their best win in conference play, but they've got some really good non-conference wins. They beat Arizona, they beat Louisville, they beat Michigan. Like, those are good teams that they beat in the non-conference. I mean, those are all, I think I would be willing to bet, that those are all going to be tournament teams, especially with what Arizona's been doing as of late in the Big 12. They just beat Iowa State the other night, and Iowa State just got beat again. I want to talk about that in a second. But Oklahoma's non-conference resume is solid, and they're finally starting to get their footing in SEC play. But now they run into a gauntlet yet again. They've got number one Auburn on the road. They've got number four Tennessee at home. And they go to number 15 Missouri. If you're Oklahoma, looking ahead at the schedule, you'll then get a break against LSU before you play four more top 25 teams in a row. At Florida, home for Mississippi State, home versus Kentucky, and at Ole Miss. Excuse me. Five top 25 teams in a row because Missouri's in there as well before you end the season with Texas. So Oklahoma has no lack of opportunities to get quad one wins before Selection Sunday for the Sooners. I mean, we've talked about how every game, it seems like, in the SEC is a quad one opportunity, whether you're on your home floor, neutral side, or on the road. You've got an opportunity, what seems like every single night, to get a quad one win. And this Oklahoma team, 4-5 right now in quad one games.
That's what I was looking at right now. 4-5. They sit at 37th in the rankings right now.
Which is not bad.
The five losses don't mean anything because of what we've seen. So even if they can get up to 6, 7, or 8, they'll really, really like where they're at. And if you're Auburn, that's kind of what you're hoping for other than tonight, because if that's a team that could work their way into the quad one category, I mean, that's just, yet again, another one that could be added to the tally. Right now, it sits about as close as you can to a quad two game, I believe, because it's in the top 30 if you play them on your home floor. So currently sits as a quad two game. So Auburn fans, you can cheer because you don't have many of them. Your win against Mississippi State now, crazy enough as it sounds, is considered a quad two game just because of how the SEC just beats up on each other. Mississippi State in any other conference would be one of the front runners, but because they've lost back-to-back or they've skidded a little bit, now they've slipped down a little bit, but just crazy to see where every single night you feel like there's chaos that happens.
We'll dive more into Auburn and Oklahoma as we go. Do want to flash back to what happened last night where Iowa State, my question is simple. Are they broken? What is happening to this Iowa State team who was one of the most dominant teams in all of college basketball, who for a long, long time had one singular loss, and it was to the Auburn Tigers in one of the greatest games we've seen so far this year. They had wins over Dayton, Marquette, Iowa, Colorado. They started Big 12 play on a roll, right? They beat Baylor. They beat Kansas. Somebody in here predicted they were on upset watch when they went to West Virginia. They did lose that game. They bounced back nicely, beat the brakes off UCF, took care of Arizona State, and all of a sudden, the last three games, Iowa State has gone loss, loss, loss. They lost to Arizona on the road last weekend. No, that was in the midweek. That was on the Monday, I believe, 86-75. They come home this past weekend for a chance to get right, and they drop a quad three game on their home floor to Kansas State, 80-61, and they followed that up, Christian, with a loss at Kansas last night, 69-52 in a game they were never a part of. They're on a three-game losing streak as a top-10 team in America.
No, the only thing that they were a part of was some highlights from Kansas, and if you've seen one of them, it's the fact of they got a steal right around half court. Guy dove out of bounds, passed it to his teammate, and they threw a half court lob. And Allen Fieldhouse just absolutely lost their mind. It was a really, really cool setting. Again, Allen Fieldhouse is one of the best environments in college basketball. Going back to your question, are they broken? I'm not quite ready to throw that on them quite yet because they do have some injuries. I'm not exactly sure how to say it, but their forward, I believe it's something Mimlovich along those lines. That's the guy that shoots the crazy short corner fadeaways. He's their three-point shooter. They also have one of their big men that is out as well. Both of them have been out indefinitely. And that was who gave Auburn a lot of trouble in the first half in Maui. I think right now you're almost seeing one of those things to where for Iowa State, everything worked so well early. Teams are beginning to figure out what their game plan is, and then when you don't have success on the offensive end of the floor, those kind of snowball, and you're kind of seeing that in the middle and the dog days, if you will, of college basketball. But this team, I feel like, is good enough to get those things figured out. That being said, you're going to need more from Curtis Jones every single night. It went 3 for 11, 1 of 7 from deep. Team shot 3 of 21 from the three-point line and 11 for 20 at the free throw line.
Gross.
I could tell you those two stats in itself, and you would have been able to tell me the exact outcome of this game.
Yeah, so Iowa State's got to find a way to figure it out. That was the lone top 25 game last night. Great games coming up tonight in college basketball. Lots of top 25 teams in action. You have several top 25 matchups between Kentucky and Ole Miss in the SEC. 14th ranked Kentucky, 25th ranked Ole Miss. That'll be 6 o'clock. And then in the Big East, you have number 11 Marquette, and very quietly,
yes,
very quietly, the 12th ranked team in the country. How about the Red Storm of St. John's? They are 19-3 overall. They are tied for first in the Big East standings at 10-1. It's a miracle. It's unbelievable to see what this St. John's team has done and what this program has done with Rick Pitino at the helm. Because for several years, in recent years, for anybody that watches and knows college basketball, St. John's was bad. St. John's was down there with Georgetown and DePaul in the Big East, where they have just not been good. And all of a sudden, you hire a legend, you give them a little time, and Rick Pitino's got them as a top 15 team in America, playing some of their best basketball. They have not lost since their third game of Big East play, all the way back against Creighton. That game was played on December 31st. They have yet to lose in 2025, and that's their only Big East loss. They've got 10 total wins in the conference. Make that, 4, 6, 8 wins in a row, and they get to host a top 15 team in Marquette tonight. How much fun is this game going to be?
Yeah, 2.5-point line right now. St. John's is favored. This one, again, in the Garden. So what an environment that it's slated out to be. For those that are not basketball connoisseurs every single night, the last time you've probably heard of this St. John's team was when Auburn's Mustafa Heron transferred to St. John's, and that kind of reflects of how long that was and how long since St. John's has been relevant. But again, you mentioned it, they have four guys, just about, one sitting at 9.9, but basically five guys that average right around double figures, led by RJ Lewis Jr., who averages 17.5 per game, shooting almost 46% from the floor. This team is very, very good, a very methodical offense to watch. They're going to get their own each and every single time down the possession or down the floor. They're going to eat up clock, and if they lose a basketball game, it's because they lost it on their terms. And so far, again, as you mentioned, in the calendar year of 2025, they've yet to do so.
I misspoke. St. John's is first overall in the Big East. I thought they were tied for first. It's a tie for second between Marquette and Creighton. The Big East is not as good top to bottom as it has been in the past. I love the Big East, man. I love Big East basketball. It's just so old school, so high flying, so exciting every single night. The top four, I think, are really, really good. And then I would say there's a pretty significant drop-off right now. St. John's at the top, Marquette in there, Creighton, and then UConn, which we're still trying to figure out really what UConn is in college basketball this season. But then after that, you get a pretty significant drop-off. They're competitive in there. Heck, you got four teams that are sitting at 5 and 6 in the conference, Georgetown, Xavier, Villanova, Providence, but those teams are all flirting with 500 in the regular season. But the top four teams in the Big East very well could make a deep run in March.
And to show a brief example of how dominant the SEC is this year, one of St. John's losses came to the hands of the University of Georgia in the non-conference schedule. Georgia, who sits at 3 and 6 in conference play, has a top 12 flirting with a top 10 victory on the season.
Yeah.
That's strong for Georgia, who's trying to make their case. Way that it's looking, maybe not necessarily right now, but if they can get on a little bit of a heater, get back to 500 or flirt with it, Last time Bracketology came out, or last time we talked about it last week, they were one of the last four in. I'm sure they're probably right on the bubble looking out now, or looking in to the tournament. But Georgia's schedule does get a little bit more favorable towards the end. So, again, just dominance from the SEC night in and night out.
Other games happening tonight in college basketball. Vanderbilt is on the road at Florida. That was a Vanderbilt team that was top 25. They have since fallen out of it since they got beat this past weekend. They go to Florida, who is going to try and get one back after an embarrassment against Tennessee on Saturday. You've got Purdue on the road at Iowa. They're a top 10 team. We mentioned that Kentucky and Ole Miss game. We got a text in the on-the-line text box, which is always open, by the way, at 334-784-1067. Says, hot take: SEC teams get so worked up emotionally and physically for their eventual loss against Auburn that their next game is a dud. For entertainment purposes only, put all your eggs on Kentucky tonight.
I love how the entertainment purposes only has just
spread everywhere. That for sure. Kentucky's on the road in Oxford tonight. Ole Miss favored by four and a half.
Yeah.
We'll make picks later, official picks later, but this game could be a track meet. I mean, this could be 95-94.
This could be an emotional dud that you're talking about for Kentucky as well, who's coming off a loss against Coach Calipari.
They need a win.
At home. They are desperate for a win. Ole Miss is desperate for a win. Kentucky at 4-4 in the SEC. Ole Miss, who started out 4-0. Now 5-4.
Losers four of their last five.
In SEC play, flirting with staying ranked, as they are the 25th team in college basketball right now. You can get a ticket for $13 if you want to go to that one.
That's not bad. That's pretty good, actually.
For a top 25 matchup?
I would say that's pretty good. Houston is hosting Oklahoma State. Obviously, Auburn hosting Oklahoma. 13th-ranked Texas Tech in the Big 12 hosting Baylor, who is okay in the Big 12. They've got some wins, but they need some help as well. Indiana is on the road at number 21, Wisconsin. The 9th-ranked team, Michigan State, they're on the road at UCLA. And then the nightcap, a late nightcap, 10 o'clock on ESPN, 20th-ranked Arizona, who's 9-1 in Big 12 play all of a sudden. They're on the road at BYU. So really good basketball tonight, I think.
Really good late games as well. UCLA coming off a big-time win in their last outing. Michigan State coming off of a loss. So two teams.
Not a bad loss, though. That's a talented USC team.
Oh, that's pretty hypocritical of Mr. Jacob Goins to say not a bad loss. Would you say that's a quality loss?
No. It's not a good loss, but it's not a bad loss, because I think USC is very talented. I think they're a talented team. Do I think they're a tournament team? I don't know. They're probably going to need some help, that USC squad. Getting a top 10 win over Michigan State will help. That'll help. They also have a win over 15th-ranked top 15 Illinois at the time. So they have at least got some quad one wins.
Yeah, well, I mean, they won at USC, and then won at home against Oregon too.
So, I'm talking about USC in their resume. I'm saying USC is not a bad team.
No, not at all.
So Michigan State traveling across the country to play in Los Angeles is not the end of the world. You don't want to lose both of those games if you're Michigan State. You don't want to drop it to unranked USC and to unranked UCLA. And so they're going to try and get that back tonight. A UCLA squad, you mentioned it, they have a couple of big wins on their resume.
So what Jacob is basically saying is, if you don't fall asleep for the Auburn-Oklahoma game, just keep it on. Keep the TV on and find yourself one of those late night games to fall asleep to.
Yeah, you definitely should. No doubt about it. Okay, let's take our first break here in hour number one. We're just underway on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. More basketball to talk about, plus some early college football win totals. That's all coming up here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Auburn hosting Oklahoma tonight, and the Sooners playing, as Christian said earlier, probably their best basketball of the season. But you know who else is playing good basketball? Auburn. Are they playing their best basketball of the season? No, I wouldn't think so, and I wouldn't say so. But Auburn is still the number one ranked team in the country, and something that we like to talk about quite often is the fact that every time you take the floor as the number one team in the land, no matter who it is, it can be Oklahoma, it can be UAB, it could be the Institute of Technology State, right? You're going to get their best shot every single night when you step on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's the target that comes with it. It's a bullseye. You talk about the emotions for getting up for the game. You're going to see teams play a higher quality of basketball than I would say that their average numbers would show, just because of everything that's leading up to it. On the road is a little bit different, knowing that you're walking into the home of the number one team in the land, but you saw it against Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss played a really, really high quality game of basketball. You saw LSU play one of their better games. We've seen Georgia play one of their better games, all because they know what comes with your opponents and the number one team in the country, knowing that fans are traveling, the witnesses that Bruce Pearl likes to call them. You know all of that is going into your home arena. So I think that plays a little bit more of a factor than Oklahoma's looking at right now, just because you're walking into the home of the number one team in the country.
Saw a stat from Nathan King of Auburn 247 earlier today that said, on average, this Oklahoma team is forcing about 10 turnovers a game, but in this last four-game stretch where they're winners three in their last four, they're forcing 13 turnovers a game. So they are forcing more turnovers, and they're capitalizing on those turnovers. And you got to remember, this is an Auburn team that doesn't turn the ball over very often. I mean, 9 total turnovers on the road in Oxford on Saturday. That's pretty good for a team in Ole Miss that forces a lot, and you also forced a lot against that Ole Miss team who at one point was averaging like 5 turnovers a game or something ridiculous. So Oklahoma's going to try and do that, yes, and they're coming off of a game against Vanderbilt where they win by 30. And they dropped 97 points thanks to Jeremiah Fears going for 21, somebody that Auburn has to find tonight. And yes, he's a 6'4 guard, but Auburn's got plenty of guys that can stick with him. I think Denver Jones, Chad Baker, Miles Kelly, I trust any of them to pick him up for a guy that averages 16-4-4 on the year. I trust any of those guys to pick him up. He is a really good finisher. He can shoot fairly well. And he's just explosive off the bounce and off the dribble. So I think any of those guys can stick with him and limit him, and seems like you might be okay.
I mean, that's what Bruce Pearl talked about in the media availability, talking about, again, how athletic this team is. He mentioned a couple of guys that are key that you're going to have to stop. They're the momentum guys, and he's one of those guys. Not necessarily somebody that can drop 30 a night on 60% shooting, but one of those guys you have to respect from behind the three-point line. If he knocks down one, he could knock down three or four, and that's one of the things that Auburn's going to have to do. We'll talk about it a little bit more later on, but I think Oklahoma's going to have to do something that they don't necessarily want to do. You mentioned trying to speed Auburn up. So far, that hasn't really worked. Hasn't really been too successful for Auburn teams, or for teams playing Auburn when they try and do that. The best time you've seen Auburn, or I guess the worst time you've seen Auburn play at their least efficient ways are when teams slow Auburn down and force Auburn to take it possession by possession rather than this game being in the 80s, which I think Auburn would feel much more comfortable doing. Oklahoma, again, you mentioned 97 points in the win against Vanderbilt. They beat South Carolina by 20, putting up 82 in that one. If Auburn can keep Oklahoma in the 60s, I think that's something, or if Oklahoma can keep Auburn in the 60s, I think that's something that they want to do, because I feel like if you try and speed up this Auburn team, you haven't seen too much success from it.
Auburn is going to have such an advantage down low in this game. I mean, I think Jani Broome and Dylan Cardwell have to go off tonight, and it's almost inevitable that they'll go off tonight and just naturally have good games, because Auburn averages almost 6 rebounds more per game than Oklahoma. They also average, almost 5 more blocks per game. So 4 blocks per game more than Oklahoma does. So you're talking offensively and defensively, Auburn has mismatches everywhere on both ends of the floor. Auburn's got to get paint touches tonight, whether that's with the guards off the set of the offense or just dump it down and let them go to work and let Dylan have another double-double tonight. That's what Auburn has to do. You have several mismatches down low. Even if Chaney Johnson's in the game, I think you have very, very good mismatches down low for Auburn.
Jalen Moore is their 6'7 forward who leads the team in rebounding with six. He averages 8.2 points a game and six rebounds. Auburn should dominate the glass. The one thing to look at, Jalen Moore is from Birmingham, so he'll be happy to make his way back into the state of Alabama.
Auburn hosting Oklahoma tonight, 8 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. We'll talk more about that, plus make our picks for all the games around the SEC, some of the other big ones in college basketball as well. But football season will be here before we know it. We've already got some early win totals around college football. We'll talk about that when we come back 30 minutes in to hour number one.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Kristen Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show. 334-321-1390. We typically open those about 30 minutes into the show, unless we have guests and things like that. So, yes, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, and you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And saw an article earlier today that On3 put out in conjunction with FanDuel, of course, the betting sports book, and we already have some win totals for college football in 2025, which sounds crazy. But here we are in February. You got February, March, April, May, June, July, and then football season's here. So in just six short months, we're going to be in the month of college football season. In between now and then, you've got spring practice. Well, you have signing day. You have spring practice. You have the transfer portal. You have summer workouts. You have SEC media days. And then fall practice begins. It will be here before you know it. And we've got several big-time win totals for what I would say the top four or five teams in the Power Four conferences and Notre Dame. And this is posted from On3, but they got the odds from FanDuel. So this is the betting odds right now in college football for a win total in 2025. And just want to go through some of these here for a second, and we'll just start with the ACC since that's where they begin. The leader in the ACC is Clemson at 9.5. The three underneath them, Louisville 8.5, Miami 8.5, and North Carolina 7.5. Of course, Bill Belichick, the new head coach there in Chapel Hill. I'll say this. For the ACC's sake, I hope these are wrong. You better hope these teams overperform, because
to get 10.
Clemson's got to go over. I think Louisville and Miami, one of those needs to go over. I mean, if the ACC wants to survive, they've got to put talent on the field. They've got to get to the playoff and represent their conference well. North Carolina's such a crapshoot, I have no idea. You would think Bill Belichick's a good enough coach to get them 8 wins, but does it translate to the college game? Do they have the talent? All those questions. But, yeah, that's what I take away from that list is the ACC better hope their teams overperform because they need some help in 2025.
Miami with Carson Beck, only 8.5. That's an interesting number just because, I mean, if Carson Beck was at Georgia right now, what do you think that total would be?
Probably similar to what it is right now. We're going to get to it in a second. But
so you're saying that him playing on the field wouldn't necessarily change the win total for Georgia?
Yeah, I think I am saying that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think I am saying that because
not saying you're wrong, just so that means Miami's win total is probably about the same with him as quarterback.
See, I think it's different.
Or is that a talent drop going from Georgia to Miami to where Carson Beck will be the guy?
Yes. I think Miami's very talented, but they are not Georgia.
They're a 7 or an 8 win team. They're flirting with 9 with Carson Beck.
I think he adds a couple of wins to Miami. I don't think he adds a couple of wins to Georgia. Not anymore. You saw what he was. I think you saw what he was at Georgia. And I don't think Georgia was getting any better with him, but I think Miami at least stays. I mean, you just got Cam Ward, who was really good. But tell me some guys other than Cam Ward at Miami that helped them win games this year. You know what I'm saying? Like that's
at least on the defensive side of the football, especially.
Yes, exactly. So I kind of look at it that way. Of yeah, that's probably about right. Because let's not forget, you're competing in the ACC, which is not a good conference right now. It's not. And you pull up Miami's schedule. They open up with Notre Dame. That's a great game. That's a huge game.
Where is that
to open
at?
Up. That is going to be in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium.
Wow.
To open up on. That's the Sunday night game on opening weekend. That's the Sunday night game where Miami, you know how they've gone from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday now? That's the Sunday night standalone game. Yep.
That'll be solid. Is that supposed to be one of those neutral sites that just happen to be playing at Hard Rock?
I highly doubt it. Now, it'll be neutral site because Miami fans don't show up and Notre Dame will travel. So they play with Notre Dame. They play USF, they play Florida, so they're getting all those in-state schools again, which is nice. They don't play UCF this year, but, man, their ACC schedule is terrible. They play Florida State, Louisville, Stanford. They do go to SMU, Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. Are you kidding me? That schedule's cupcake.
No faith in the Fighting Seminoles of Gus Malzahn?
I think they'll be better. It's impossible not to, but you're telling me that Miami can't beat Bethune-Cookman, South Florida. The Florida game will be good. They'll beat Florida State. They'll beat Louisville. They'll beat Stanford. SMU's a toss-up. They'll beat Syracuse, NC State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt. That's 9 wins right there. Carson Beck's good enough to beat those guys on his own.
So that right there, for entertainment purposes only, if you agree with that, there's your 8.5 hammer.
There you go. I mean, and
hoping that if you're expecting them to drop one that they probably shouldn't, expect them to win one that they probably shouldn't, and you're still right there.
What's funny is, of the 4 teams that we get from the ACC, Miami plays only one of them. They only play Louisville. They don't play Clemson or North Carolina, which would presumably be the top 4 teams in the ACC, so they're only going to play one of them.
And that continues down in a couple other conferences as we work our way down.
Well, let's do that. Let's keep working through. We get to the Big 12. This is bad.
I don't think this is expecting the top teams, but it's the ones that have the most media publicity, I guess you could say.
You better hope so. Iowa State, 7.5. Kansas, 7.5. And Colorado, who, yes, they're still coached by Deion Sanders, 6.5. Those are the only ones we have right now.
Is he back in Colorado? Is he back to practice? I know that he was absent
he didn't get the Cowboys job, so I would assume he's probably back at practice at Colorado. Or at least when they start truly getting on the field and having all of that. I mean, I'm with you. Surely, that's not everything. That's not the best of the best in the Big 12. If it is, because, I mean, you still have teams like UCF in there that I think could be.
Yeah, you have Utah, BYU.
Yeah, I mean, you've got plenty of good teams there that we probably don't have a whole lot of win totals on. I'm not going to spend any time on Iowa State, Kansas, and Colorado because it's Iowa State, Kansas, and Colorado.
Is Juju Lewis expected to win that job?
I don't know. I would think so. I don't know, though. But as a freshman, I don't know.
I feel like there's another one that made his way over there.
I can't remember. A transfer to Colorado?
It's it's Caden Salter. That's who it is.
That's right. Caden Salter.
The Liberty quarterback.
Yes. I forgot.
That's exactly who it is. So
I totally forgot about that.
That's his job to win.
Ain't no doubt.
That's his job to lose, rather.
Well, I was about to say, that's his job to lose. But if you're Colorado, you're not in a bad spot. You get Caden Salter, who's proven, or you have a five-star freshman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Wouldn't you say Auburn's in the same boat? You have a proven transfer quarterback, or you have a five-star who's waiting in the wing? Not a bad spot to be in, I would say, right?
If Auburn's win total is 6.5.
What? Okay, so for people listening, Auburn is not available yet. Auburn is, according to FanDuel, Auburn does not have a win total yet. Do you think it's 6.5? That's what it was a year ago, and we laughed. We said it was a joke. We said, ain't no way Auburn doesn't win 6.5 games. Surely it's at least 7.5, right? With the talent, with the schedule. My guess would be, and we're going to get to SEC in a minute, my guess would Auburn would have a betting line of 7.5 wins.
Yes. That would be my guess with the, to try and get people to budge on it, the over would probably be close to plus money.
Because you bring up a good point. These are all set. The way this all is set up in Las Vegas, they want the money to be split right down the middle. They want 50% of the public to go under. They want 50% of the public to go over. So they're guaranteed maximum profit.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. So that's why they're, yes, it's based off of what they think the team is going to do, but it's also based off what they think people will bet on as well and try to get it right down the middle. Which brings up an interesting point about the Big Ten when you get down to this. These are definitely the top three teams in the conference, given the players, the coaches, and even all the changes that we've seen. Three teams are tied at the top in terms of win totals for 2025 in the Big Ten, according to FanDuel. Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State, all tied with a betting line of 10.5 wins. Think about that for a second. Three teams in a big Big Ten. Yes, it's bigger than most conferences now. But three of their teams are projected to have 10.5 total wins.
And I sat there and thought to myself, something has to be off on the scheduling side of things. You go to it, you do a little bit of research. Ohio State does not play Oregon in the regular season. They do play Penn State, so that means Penn State. They do play Ohio State. Penn State also plays Oregon. That's the one team that plays both.
Where's that at?
It's in Eugene, and then it's at Ohio Stadium.
Wow. They have to go to...
No, I'm sorry. It is... The Oregon game is in Happy Valley.
That's a big game.
That is a very big game.
The Ducks travel to Happy Valley? How about that? And then they have to go to the Shoe to play Ohio State?
Correct. And then the very next week, they host Indiana. So...
Okay. Interesting. It's just crazy to me that the Big Ten has three teams that have a 10.5 win total. Because then the drop-off, as of right now, is Michigan and Indiana with 8.5. So two less wins for those teams because the assumption is that they'll lose to the three ahead of them, USC at 7.5 and Iowa at 6.5. I mean, Indiana's got to drop off this year, right? They had 11 wins. They made the college football playoff. But I think 8.5 wins is still a solid spot for them and for Michigan, too, who's trying to climb out of a hole. They haven't done much in the last 4 years other than win a national championship and beat Ohio State, right? They're still a pretty good team, if you recall. But it seems like they're still behind those teams at the top, especially since Ohio State's coming off a national championship. So, I mean, the last two national champs have come from the Big Ten. SEC is not too happy about that. And speaking of the SEC, with win totals for 2025, you've got three tied at the top as of right now. And I think this is probably a good glimpse of the teams who are projected to be at the top right now.
Get ready for this.
It's going to blow your mind right here. Georgia, Texas, and Tennessee all tied with the same number. Let's let the folks guess at home really quick. Georgia, Texas, Tennessee... What would you guess their projected win total is for 2025? It's 9.5 wins.
Mm.
9.5 is what the projection is for Georgia, Texas, and Tennessee. The fact that Tennessee got looped into that conversation is pretty remarkable. Seems a little high for me.
But
seems
Paul,
a little high.
Where's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I leave out Alabama?
Oh.
My bad. Alabama's projected win total is 8.5. For 2025. That is as low as it's been in years. I don't remember exactly what it was a year ago. I'm sure it was 10.5. When's the last time they had going into the season?
I think it was 9.5.
Was it? Was that the number? I was going to say, I can't remember when the last time their projected win total going into a season was less than double digits. Were we saying that last year because it was 9.5?
I believe so, yes. They were 9.5 for 2024. So was LSU, Tennessee, and Missouri.
Oh. How about that? Missouri's not on this list yet, but Alabama's 8.5. LSU is also at 8.5, which you talk about two places that are not in the same spot, but very well could be in the same spot, right? You've got Alabama fans who are ready to kick Kalen DeBoer out after 1 year, and Brian Kelly is now a head coach who's gone longer than the last three without winning a national title. So things are not going great in Baton Rouge and Tuscaloosa, according to the fans. And I'm sure fans are flipping out in Tuscaloosa with their projected win total at 8.5, which means, this is obvious, but if you go under, it means Alabama's an 8-4 football team. That means Alabama doesn't make it to Atlanta. Alabama doesn't make it to a college football playoff. That means Alabama loses to some teams that they don't really lose to all that often. And it may just become more common than we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, if we mention that Auburn's win total is 7.5, what if they go over and Alabama goes under? What happens to this state if both teams finish 8-4? Tell you one thing, I know who the happier fan base is.
Yeah, because that eighth win and fourth loss could be to the other team.
Which makes that feel incredibly larger, right?
Absolutely.
If Auburn is 7-4 going into the Iron Bowl,
and Alabama's versus 8-3.
Versus 8-3 Auburn, and they lose, that eighth win versus that fourth loss feels like it is the opposite side of the spectrum.
Well, I think either way. I think whoever has the advantage record-wise going into that game, getting your eighth win in the Iron Bowl versus picking up that fourth loss in the Iron Bowl, that hurts. That hurts on all levels. It hurts in different ways for these two programs because they're not in the same spot. They're not in the same direction right now. But in year two / year three of these programs and coaches, that game could come down to a coach keeping or losing his job.
Wow.
Think about that. It would be crazy for Alabama to fire Kalen DeBoer after 2 years. Not saying they wouldn't do it, because they are crazy, and I think they would. But it could also be crazy for Auburn to fire Hugh Freeze. But if he doesn't beat Georgia or Alabama again and go 7-5, is that good enough? Right? Is that good enough? And that's what people are talking about.
That's why it's so weird when you ask, what does Auburn's win total need to be? Because, yes, I think that eight number, the eight win total, is kind of the circling number that you have right now. But how weird is it that there's so many different ways that a record can look based off of the teams that you beat versus who you get beat by?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
7-5 with a win over Georgia or Alabama feels a lot different than 8-4 with losses to both.
Hot take, I'd take 7-5 with a win over one of those versus 8-4 with losses to both.
Isn't that crazy to say?
Cause I would.
Sitting here saying 7-5 might not be enough to keep Freeze's job, but if it works out like that, I think it is.
But at the same time, I'll be really, really picky here as we go to break. I wouldn't be overly pleased with either one of those.
No.
I'm saying if I had to choose one, 7-5, and we'll open that up to people as well. Shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. Would you rather Auburn go 7-5 with beating either Georgia or Alabama, or go 8-4 and lose to both of them? I would like to see 8-4 with wins over both, or even better than that, yes. And I'm not totally satisfied with either one of those results, but if those are the two scenarios you're given and saying, you can have one of these for Auburn in 2025.
And a side note, if you're going to answer that question, which team would you rather beat?
For me, I don't think I care. I think just beat one of them. I mean, start with one and go from there.
At home, yeah.
Because, exactly. They're both going to be at home. I guess you could say Alabama just because it's on the way out, right? You'd have something to build on going to a bowl game and all that mess.
It also depends on how the season goes, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah.
Because I went over Georgia. If you're 4-1, you go to 5-1.
But that means the season comes crumbling down because you then lose four more games after that. That'd be brutal. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting
thing.
There's so many
different ways we can work. I know we're about to head to a break. We're going to talk a little bit about if we had right now to pick one that we say is going to go over and under. right? Off the top right now?
Yeah, we'll have to do it quickly. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrap it up. Hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got to make it quick. I got to answer the phone. We'll get to them to start hour number two. But take it away. I know you wanted to make some picks on possible over-unders.
Yeah, if we're taking one team to go over and one team to go under for their win total, the first one that comes to my mind is I think Kansas is a team right now that sits at 7.5 wins, and I think that is a really, really good Kansas Jayhawk team. They got Jalen Daniels to come back because they agreed to a new deal. So he returns for his senior season. This team finished 5-7 this past year with losses. They lost 23-17, 23-20, 32-28, 35-31, 29-27. This team has everything there to be a makeup team to really make a run in the Big 12. So Kansas will be my team that
I don't hate it.
I will say will go over their 7.5 line. Don't mark me on this, but right now, just based off of how everything looks, when I look at the schedule, I want to say otherwise. But I'll say the team that goes under is Ohio State. I think Ohio State has a lot of moving pieces. Both coordinators are going to need replacing. The quarterback position is going to need changing. I think Julian Sayin is the favorite to win that quarterback job. But as of right now, I will say Ohio State to go under 10.5 wins.
Wow. See, I may go the opposite. I may go Michigan to go over. 8.5, maybe them. They go to Norman in week two of the season, which would be pretty awesome. They go, I mean, their home games are pretty easy. They don't have very many tough road games. I mean, maybe Michigan could be the team out of the Big Ten to get back to a college football playoff.
You say that and I'll shake your hand because Ohio State's going to lose to Texas to start the year, and we'll say they lose to Michigan.
Love it.
Ohio State under 10.5, baby.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, hour number one is in the book. Stick around. Hour number two coming up. We'll get to the phone lines, the text box, talk a whole lot more about college football and college basketball. That's coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 4th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you'll be able to catch up with that and all of our previous shows with the podcast on our station website. Of course, you can listen to the show live there each and every day as well. That's at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we looked around the biggest games in college basketball coming up tonight, plus Iowa State dropping their third straight game, last night to Kansas. Dove a little bit into Auburn and Oklahoma. More on that coming up here in hour number two. Also looked at early win total predictions according to FanDuel for college football in 2025. Some out of the ACC, some out of the Big Ten. A couple of really interesting ones, including Alabama out of the SEC. And Auburn's was not available yet, but we made our best prediction on what we think it will be and if Auburn can get over that or not. So that was in hour number one. Coming up here in hour number two, we are going to have some fun college basketball talk in terms of where the SEC stands right now. We're going to kind of group these teams on their potential in March. So we'll have that for you. Plus, we'll make our picks for the games coming up tonight in college basketball and talk Auburn and Oklahoma. I'm Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. Before we get into content, we're going to get to the phone lines, get to the text box, all of that here in hour number two. But before we do, want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7, is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of our show each and every day here on ESPN. And we get to the phone lines to start hour number two, as you can call in as well, 334-321-1390. We begin the hour with Andy. You're on the line. What's up, Andy?
Hey, where are you, Glass? How are y'all?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
So, you know, I was not a big Freeze lover around the Oklahoma game, after the Oklahoma game, and I'd be on board with he gets seven wins, let him go. But since then, since the offseason, I've seen him do Christian retreats. I've seen him recruiting amazingly, and I'm so on board with him. On the flip side, some of his play calling and sticking with Thorne the whole year is scary. But, again, I also called saying, watching some of those playoff games, when the players don't make the plays, it makes the coach's play calling look horrendous. So, hopefully these players can make those plays, and he looks like a genius instead of a fool.
So you're in the boat, correct me if I'm wrong here, you're in the boat where his off-field success in terms of recruiting a transfer portal is enough for you right now. Even if year three doesn't go as well as people want it to go, you think he should hang around because of what he's doing off the field?
With the seven wins, yes.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, if he pulls three or four wins, then, you know, it's just not working out.
But what about seven wins with no wins over Alabama or Georgia? Because that was a debate we had, and we have a couple texts about that as well. Would you rather Auburn go 7-5 without beating Georgia or Alabama, or are you okay with 8-4 and not beating them? Or let me say, correct.
8-4 with a win. Yeah. Over neither of them, 7-5 with a win over one of them.
Yes, thank you.
Neither of those are preferred. I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think Alabama's losing a lot, Georgia's losing a lot. Hopefully we get some more positivity out of that. So I'm not going to pick which is worse. but what I'm saying is, if it is, the one thing I don't want is, just like what happened with Gus, is we have young talent in my eyes. The two guys that really shine out are Deuce and Cam. They're young. And please, let's not fire the coach and then lose his talent like we did with Bo, and lose athletes their junior and senior year when they become men and they're two times better than when they were 18 years old. And it's just, I mean, you guys know the business. These quarterbacks go off somewhere their senior year and they get on the Heisman list all of a sudden when we didn't even know their name for the past 4 years. That is my fear, is if it does turn out to be a 6-7 win, let's not cut off the man's head, even though we will not be excited, even though that's a step up, I believe, because we know when we fire the coach, we might as well be firing the players too. So that's my big point. But I guess we have many months to talk about that.
That's right. Andy, appreciate the call, my friend. Always good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I think he brings up an interesting point. He's basically saying, I don't want to have to reset, restart, and do it all over again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's so much harder for a coach that's coming in to have to recruit players that are leaving your team, as well as trying to get guys onto the team. You're seeing, finally, for the first time in years, Auburn get up to the recruiting numbers that is expectant of them. You're seeing them dominate the state of Alabama. A new coach like that, not only would you see the players on the field wearing the orange and blue walk, it's anybody that has the name or the logo with committed next to their name, you're essentially losing all of those as well.
Had a couple of texts in the text box at 334-784-1067. You can always get in on that. We have another phone call to get to in just a second as well. Somebody texts in and says, it's John. John in Auburn says, a third straight loss to Diego Pavia would be worse than losing to Georgia and Alabama again. So Auburn trying
too soon.
To, Yeah, Auburn, Diego Pavia will live and haunt Auburn forever, I think. And now he's, you know, disqualified for his 18th year of college football. I had another text that says 7.5 seems like the over-under for Auburn right now. We don't have an official line. Yeah. Betting lines haven't come out for Auburn in particular, but 7.5 seems like the over-under, and I think you and I would both agree with that. He says 7-5, absolutely okay with a rivalry win, rather would beat Bama, no doubt about it, is what he says. So he's in agreement saying that 7-5 is okay if you beat one of your rivals. 8-4 without a rivalry win, though, is the better option, according to the message here. So he's saying, to heck with beating Georgia and Alabama, just get wins. Doesn't matter who it is, just get wins if you're Auburn in year three under Hugh Freeze. Let's get back to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, Jacob. Chris, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry. How are you, man?
Good. How y'all doing
We're
today?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Guys, I can't believe this has to point out, but isn't Georgia and Alabama both in Jordan-Hare next year?
They are.
That makes it even more important.
I agree.
Can't afford to lose those games at home.
You're saying to lose both of them, or can't? Or I guess you're saying
either
Auburn
one,
needs to lead,
especially.
Yeah, needs to win at least one, right?
Yeah, I mean, you figure closing out the year with a loss to Alabama would be horrific.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely, because if they're on a if the projections are right and they're a 7 or 8 win team or 9 win team or whatever, they're basically throwing in the towel.
I mean, you could think about it this way. As I get Alabama's schedule pulled back up, I had it just a second ago. You look at what Alabama could be, right? They have Florida State to open up. That's at Florida State. Now, I know that was a terrible team a year ago. You expect them to be somewhat better in 2025. They have ULM. They play Wisconsin at home. They have to go to Georgia. They have Vandy at Missouri, home for Tennessee, at South Carolina, home for LSU, home for Oklahoma, another cupcake game before they come to Auburn. I mean, the last thing you want is for Auburn, as you said, Terry, to end the regular season with a loss to Alabama and that win for the Crimson Tide to put them in Atlanta or put them in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and who would have predicted Alabama lost to Vanderbilt last year's schedule?
Right. Nobody.
So, I mean, that's you know, you're going over the schedule there, and yeah, you can't make, you know, guesses of wins and losses because you don't know. But they're going to have a loss that they're not expecting to have. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think that's just a fair statement across college football. I mean, the fact that the win totals don't get over or even get to 11, I think, is something that tells us your statement is factual, Terry.
Right. Well, I mean, I just back to Auburn. There's no way that Hugh Freeze can afford to lose to Georgia and Alabama and Jordan-Hare next year.
Even with an 8-4 record.
Even with an 8-4 record.
Well, imagine how much it would hurt for Auburn to be 8-3, looking in, still having the playoff conversation, and then a loss to Alabama at home basically diminishes all of that. Because the 9-3 SEC team, because of how everything turned out last year, there's going to be more rumblings and more legitimate conversations for a 9-3 team to make it to the playoff.
Yeah, but y'all just said it before that Alabama and Georgia have lost a ton, and they're not going to be as good, I don't think. And this is Auburn's got them in Jordan-Hare. This is year if there's ever a year to beat them, it's this year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Terry. Always appreciate the call, my friend. Thank you so much for getting in on the show. 334-321-1390. And you look at what Auburn's schedule is. If they are 9-3 going into the Iron Bowl, that would mean you beat
–
or 8-3, apologies. That means you would beat Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama. We'll go through the gimme – not the gimme wins, but the ones you would expect Auburn to win. Missouri at home, at Arkansas, Kentucky at home, at Vanderbilt, and then Mercer. That would be the 8 that I would say right now if Auburn needed 8 wins and you felt good about Auburn getting 8 wins, that would be it. The 3 losses would then come to...
They'd all 3 be on the road.
At Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, and
or I
Georgia
guess you're saying
home.
Baylor. Okay.
I'm saying you beat Baylor and lose to Georgia at home.
So that's, I mean, that's a 3-game skid.
After starting 3-0, you then come back down to earth at 3-3, but then you get on a, what, 5-game win streak, and Alabama comes in and crushes your dreams? Because I'm...
It would be one of those stories of Auburn have lost three games early, but they're playing their best football right now.
But the problem with that is your quote and potential playoff resume win would be hanging on if Baylor's any good or not. Because at that point, right, if you've lost to Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Georgia, unless Missouri is good again, right, or if Kentucky somehow, or Vanderbilt or whatever, like, that's the issue there. That's why I think for Auburn, when you go to Oklahoma, to A&M, or like Terry's saying, the fact that you get Georgia and Alabama inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium, if you want to start talking big picture with college football playoff, you've got to get big wins. Beating Vanderbilt is not good enough. I'm sorry, it's not. Beating Arkansas and Fayetteville, you've done it forever. That's not good enough. Auburn is going to have to beat some teams this year because in the scenario you're talking about, I'm just afraid your playoff, again, your potential playoff hopes are hanging in the balance on if Baylor's any good and whether you win the Iron Bowl in the last game of the year.
Yeah, it would come down to, yeah, you beat the teams you were supposed to beat. You didn't pick up any surprising wins, and your best win is against 23rd-ranked Missouri or whatever the case may be, rather than, yeah, even if you're just able to get one of them and or you're able to beat you're able to beat both of them, or even if you're only able to beat Alabama at the end of the year, your best win is, at that case, how good would an Alabama win look if they go 8-4?
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be worth more than beating Baylor,
sure.
I would think, and would be worth more than any of the other SEC teams you would beat, but yeah, I feel for Auburn, man. If there's a year to do it, you've got to start it now. You've got to start to beat your rivals right now. And you would love for them to go on the road and get it done against one of Oklahoma or Texas
yes.
A&M. I don't think any Auburn fan is asking this team unless – let me finish my thought. I guess no Auburn fan, I would think realistically, is asking this team to go on the road back-to-back weeks and beat Oklahoma and Texas A&M. That could change if you go on the road and perform very well against Baylor, and then you back it up with a nice game against Oklahoma. If you look really good in those two games on the road, then I don't think it's a crazy thing to say, do it again against Texas A&M. But if it's mediocre, then just get one.
I think the word asking could change. I don't think the word demanding would. You're not expecting or you're not demanding Auburn to go out on the road and beat both of those teams in back-to-back weeks. That being said, like you mentioned, if you start 3-0 and you're looking pretty good doing so, the ask could change and become much more realistic of, hey, you did it against Baylor and you look pretty good doing it. Yeah, as you mentioned, go ahead, do it now against Oklahoma and then go from there. Hey, do it one more time before the bye week. Throw everything you got and prepare for Georgia.
But you have to accept the fact that I think in those three road games that are in a row with, of course, your Ball State, South Alabama, just throw those out for a second. You're playing three road games in a row. My opinion is, as of right now in first week of February, those games get tougher as you go.
Yes.
Baylor, then you get tougher with Oklahoma, and then you get tougher with Texas A&M, which is why somebody just texted us and said, look how big that Baylor game is now. You've said it. That's the biggest game of the year for Auburn.
Yes.
The opener against Baylor. Because if you can't beat them, your schedule does not get easier. And those three road games could define your season in the first five games of the year.
Those three road games, you have to avoid
0-3.
You cannot survive starting 2-3 with your bye week. That's what we've talked about. If you're 2-3 going into the bye week, there's going to be serious rumblings, serious conversations, knowing that you have Georgia right on the verge of your break. And if you have that bye week that kind of served like it was last year, where you thought everything was going to change, you came out and did the exact same thing again, and you start 2-4, that's when things change. 1-2, 2-1 with, I mean, even a coin flip between, again, Oklahoma and Texas A&M. Winning one of those two after beating Baylor, and you're 3-2 at worst, you're 4-1. I think that's where, if you're an Auburn realistic fan, I think that should be the expectation.
Sure, I think so. And I expect Texas A&M to be better than Oklahoma, and I expect Oklahoma to be better than Baylor. So you can manage one win in those three games. You'd love to get two, and three would be the dream scenario.
Yeah. But manage, get, dream.
Yeah. And for Auburn, I've said it. If you start 2-3, go to your bye week, and Georgia walks in here, I've said it. Maybe not after that game in particular, but I think it could come down to that game. Hugh Freeze is coaching for his job against
Georgia. That's when the decision gets made.
That is, you're absolutely right. That is when the decision is made. You're 2-3, you hit a bye week, and your rival comes in that you haven't beaten in years. You start 2-4. The crowd the next week against Missouri for what will be a 9:30 in the morning kickoff, if SEC Network can make it happen, would be about 50%. And they're going to let you hear all about it. We're going to take a break. Want to read this text as we get to break. We'll get to the phone lines as well. First time texter in the text box says this: choosing to believe in the future possibilities because of recruiting rankings while ignoring what we see on the field is a dangerous game to play.
It's what Texas A&M played for 3 or 4 years.
It's true. Not saying it's wrong. It's just that text is right. Yeah. It's a dangerous game to play because results matter. You've got to get the results. Recruiting is great, but you got to win games.
Is it a wise man that once said winning cures all or winning cures most?
I think that is a wise man that said that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's another wise man that repeats it quite often on this show in particular. All right, we'll get to our first break. Phone lines when we come back. Plus, we're switching over to the hardwood. Once we get through that, we're talking SEC basketball in Auburn and Oklahoma tonight inside of Neville Arena. Stick around. More of the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this.
War Eagle, this is Coach Bruce Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
All right, let's get to the phone lines once again here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Been great engagement so far between that and the text box. Spectre, you're on the line, my friend. How are you on this Tuesday?
Pretty good. Well, you know, I don't hear anything optimistic about this conversation about Auburn football.
What do you mean?
Well, I see us going into this season like we went into the first and second season. Unknown possibilities.
I think it is unknown, unfortunately.
Yeah, just like it was the first 2 years.
That's right.
You know, I think the third year is even worse. I mean, we got an unknown quarterback coming in. Unknown on the Auburn Plains, of course, but we don't have a running back to speak of. The offensive line, I don't know if it's getting better or not. We'll find out about that. Defense has been struck a little bit. If you had to say anything good about the defense, I guess they would be coming back pretty well. Special teams, shoot, that's a question mark too. So tell me something optimistic.
I think if you want to look at optimism, you could turn everything that you mentioned into a positive stat. The fact of there's new quarterbacks on the Plains.
Plural, yes.
There's not necessarily one option that you have to go to in the running back room. Again, that's ways that you can look at it, but rather than being stuck, like I feel like we were trying to convince ourselves of the optimism from 2 years ago going into this past year of, again, Thorn and Freeze, they've worked everything out. This is his second year. He's now gone through the system. Rather than trying to convince ourselves of this, you feel like as much more of a risk it is because there's so many question marks or X factors. Those X factors could be the difference in some of the games in the season.
Well, you know, I just cannot wait for spring. And that's gonna show me something, I guess. And maybe I'll have a different attitude then about it.
Yeah, hopefully we learn, and I think we will. I think we'll learn a lot in the spring. Not everything, because spring practice is not everything, and not everybody will be here, but I do think we learn quite a bit in the spring, and then fall practice rolls around, and we're going to know after the first weekend, Spectre, what Auburn has when they go out to Waco.
Absolutely, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390. I get his concern. I do. I get it. He's like a lot of Auburn fans. He's worried. He's worried because it's year three, and this goes back to the recruiting versus winning argument, right? The on-field versus off-field execution and performance and winning, if you will. Year three, nobody has confidence. It's not that they don't want Hugh Freeze to win. It's not that they don't want him to be successful, but 2 years in, he's proven nothing that he can beat good teams. And again, I'm not saying that he can't, and I'm not saying this team can't, and I'm not saying they're not talented enough.
They haven't.
But they haven't.
Yes.
That's exactly right. They have not done it.
And I think that's where a bunch of Auburn fans right now sit. They want to be very excited, but you're almost very, very, very cautiously optimistic to where you're almost cautiously pessimistic.
You're hesitant.
Your expectancy has changed because you've built this team up. You've built yourself up. You've built the emotions of the excitement come August 31st or the first weekend in September. Then all of a sudden, the first week of October, the season feels like it's already over. Rather than what we were talking about during the break, how awesome would it be if you're 4-1 going into the bye week, and rather than sitting here and on the plains going, oh gosh, we have to watch Auburn play again. Instead, it's Auburn's the 22nd ranked team in the country. You just had a bye week, and oh baby, Georgia comes to town.
I mean, everything is still in front of you. That's what's scary about this schedule is, I mean, the season could be done by the end of September.
By the bye week.
By the bye week, the first one, the season could be over. Because you would have no confidence in year three for a team that's 2-3 with Georgia coming in, a team you have not beat in years. You would have no confidence. And what would there be for you to have any confidence? You would almost be an idiot to have confidence in that situation. I'm not saying you are. It would just seem very idiotic to feel that way because yes, you're basing it off of hope. And hope is very dangerous. And so while Auburn fans are hopeful right now, they are extremely hopeful. The schedule could go one of two ways. It can be negative or it can be positive, right? You start even 3-2 is fine because your schedule gets much, much easier after September. Even with Georgia and Alabama on the schedules, as Terry was saying earlier, you get that at home. And the rest of your games in there, folks, they're just not that bad. Missouri at home, Arkansas on the road, a place you've had no problem playing the last handful of times you've been there. Kentucky at home. You go to Vanderbilt, yes, but you should be better than them, right? And then you have Mercer on that schedule. So it's doable. But the first five games, as we said this past year, and you could say it for a lot of teams, but just talking Auburn in a vacuum here, first five games tell you everything you need to know.
We talked about that the day the schedule came out. The day that we got every team concreted in the schedule that Auburn plays. We talked about if you split this season into two bye weeks, you split it into three unequal parts. You play five games, and two games. The first five games, at least from the standpoint of where you have to go, and the teams that you play are the toughest five that you'll play consistently back-to-back of the season. If you can get past, survive those first five games, 3-2, 4-1, I think you're okay with where you're at. And then all of a sudden you hit those next five. Georgia, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. That does not sound like the world's coming to an end. You feel like even if you went 3-2 at that point, you're 6-4. That 8-4 mark is still very much available, and you feel like that could be the very floor of those first 10 games.
It's like we talk about in basketball with 4 minute intervals. Win your segment.
Yes.
Win the segment.
Win to the bye weeks.
You don't have to go undefeated, just win the segments. And if you do, the season will be, quote, successful. It will be what Auburn wants it to be, and you can build on that heading into year four.
Simple game.
Simple
really
game.
Is. It's really easy.
Easy for us to say, sitting behind the microphone. Hey, when we come back, we're flipping to the hardwood as Auburn hosts Oklahoma tonight in Neville Arena.
You are on the line with Jacob Goertz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We flip to the hardwood, where Auburn, the number one team in the country, takes on Oklahoma tonight inside of Neville Arena. 8 o'clock start. It's a late one. There's no doubt about it. It's a late one. You can catch the radio broadcast here locally over on Wings 94.3. They will go on the air 7:30 over on Wings. And so be sure that you tune in for that. And Auburn, I keep looking at it, and I've seen a couple of different spreads here, but it's Auburn by double digits and a lot of double digits. Anywhere from 16.5 to 17.5 tonight for Auburn, favored over Oklahoma in the midweek.
Yeah, again, we talked about it. It's a scary number just from the standpoint of you're playing a team that's playing its best basketball right now. And Oklahoma just beat a very solid Vanderbilt team by 30. Now they're making their way to the toughest place to play in college basketball, playing the best team in college basketball. So you feel like that number is scary, but you wouldn't be overly shocked if it happened. But I don't think by any means if Auburn doesn't cover that line and wins by 12, that you're sitting there going, that's a terrible win. Auburn didn't do what they were supposed to do.
But I think if Auburn covers and wins by 20, we all sit here and say, yeah, that's about right.
Right.
that probably should have happened. Yeah, and nobody scrolling through right on their phone and sees that score. If Auburn beats Oklahoma by 20, nobody's going to look through and say, wow, what? They're going to say, yeah, that's about right. And they're going to move on because of what Auburn has done all season long, because they're just that good. And you look at the matchups tonight, Auburn should dominate down low. Auburn should absolutely dominate in the paint. They average six, almost seven more rebounds a game than this Oklahoma team. The stat that I looked at, Auburn averages 6.8 blocks per game. Oklahoma averages under three. So you're talking, if you round up just for solid numbers, 7 and 3. Four more blocks a game, that's a lot of blocks. I mean, they don't happen very often. Auburn, last time I checked, they were still the leading team in the nation in block shots. And while Oklahoma has a couple of guys that can match up size-wise, they don't have the depth size-wise that Auburn does. Their bench has been scoring better here recently, but Auburn always has a high-scoring bench because of guys like Tahad Pettiford, who I want to talk about for a second. I look for him to have a big night. I look for him to kind of get back into a flow. How does the offense look, right, with the ball in Tahad Pettiford's hands? Is he shooting better tonight? Is he aggressive tonight? Is he making the right plays tonight? I think this could be an opportunity for him to have a big game off the bench. And with Jani Broom, Dylan Cardwell, who I think could both walk out of this thing with double-doubles like they did on Saturday, I think they could very well do that against Oklahoma. And if those things happen, then yeah, Auburn will no doubt at least threat to cover a 16.5 point spread.
Right. You feel much more comfortable with Auburn and their paint presence, their paint dominance that it should be. Again, Jalen Moore is their leading scorer and rebounder. He averages a touch over 18 points per game, averages 6 rebounds per game, but sits at 6'7", which by no means do I want to act like is a small human being. But when you have Jani Broom and Dylan Cardwell that are the trees in the SEC, that, I mean, Jani Broom averages a double-double, averages almost 11.5 rebounds per game. We saw what Dylan Cardwell could do, especially when they were both on the floor, where both of them absolutely dominated the battle of the boards. Both had double-doubles. Nobody else had more than 2 rebounds for Auburn, because every single rebound against Ole Miss went into the hands of Auburn's 2 big men. And that's exactly what you're expecting to see tonight. You even mentioned that Chaney Johnson could have a big night in the paint if he's guarding Jalen Moore, just because you feel like the physicality for this Auburn team should take over. That being said, what one team doesn't have, they tend to do another thing pretty solidly. This Oklahoma team shoots 37.9% from 3. Auburn shoots 37.7% from 3. So when you watch Auburn play, that's about what Oklahoma shoots from the three-point line. They only average 12.2 turnovers per game and shoot 49% from the floor. So they shoot better from the floor and from 3 than the Auburn Tigers do. They shoot 79% from the free throw line as well. So again, with what this team lacks with a little bit of size, they score well and they do well successfully on the perimeter. That being said, you haven't guarded or you haven't been up against a team that guards the perimeter as well as Auburn does. Their guards, we've talked about it all season long, Denver Jones, Miles Kelly, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Tahad Pettifer, those guys guard the perimeter about as well as you can ask for.
One thing I do like about this Oklahoma team, they share the ball fairly well. They average almost 15 assists per game as a team on 27 made shots. They average 27 makes, and on those 27 makes, 15 of them are coming off of assists, which tells us that there are very few times where they play ISO ball. There are very few times where they get in those scrambles where it's got to have a bucket. Let's just see if I can go one on three and try to make it happen myself. They're a disciplined team. They are. This is a disciplined Oklahoma team that struggled out of the gate in SEC play after what I think is a very impressive non-conference slate. Right, they were undefeated in non-conference play with wins over 24th-ranked Arizona at the time, with a win over Louisville, who has been in and out of the top 25, another win over Georgia Tech in the ACC, Oklahoma State out of the Big 12, and 24th-ranked Michigan, who has been in and out of the top 25. Their non-conference slate and record was really good. It was impressive. And they were a top, 15 team when they went and played in Tuscaloosa to open up SEC play, and everybody's like, ah, frauds, they're terrible, and they looked that way for the first four SEC games.
And then followed it up with a loss at Georgia. That was when Georgia started picking up a little bit of the hype.
Texas A&M squeezed in there, in between there.
Yes. What was that line you said, assists that they have versus?
They average 15 assists per game on 27 made shots per game.
So, I mean, this Oklahoma offense compares numbers-wise, really similarly to Auburn. Auburn averages 17 assists on 30 made baskets. So when you're looking at that style of play, I think those two teams compare really, really well. But that's why I think, I talked about it a little bit earlier, that's why I think Oklahoma's going to have to do something that they're not necessarily comfortable doing. I think they're going to have to try and slow the game down, because if they want to go fast against an Auburn team that's so good defending the basketball, Auburn's going to get out and boat race Oklahoma. They're going to have to try and slow this down, shoot 52 times, and try and go to the free throw line. Winning the free throw battle is something that they're going to try and do, and you have to do if you're on the road. Having to do something that you're not comfortable doing in a place where the team and the fans aren't going to make you feel very comfortable as well. So I think that's the biggest thing, trying to slow everybody down, take it possession by possession, because, again, if this game gets into the 80s, I think that's exactly what Auburn wants.
Oklahoma has 5 losses in SEC play this year. If you take out the opener against Alabama, which is very much so the outlier, where they lost 107-79, they just ran up against an Alabama team that gets hot, and we've seen what that is at times. All their other losses are competitive. They lost by 2 to Texas A&M. They lost by 10 to Georgia, but they pulled away late. Lost by 4 to Texas, and lost by 7 to Texas A&M. My point, they're going to hang around.
Yes.
Auburn will, if not saying Auburn can't or won't put them away, I think Auburn wins this game running away, but Oklahoma is competitive in their losses other than Alabama, where they got beat by 30. I mean, Auburn is going to have to beat this team tonight. This cannot be a game that Auburn played as they have several times now, and I'm going to pull up several examples. This cannot be show up because it's a unranked team in the midweek in your home gym. You can't walk into this game like you did against LSU. You can't walk into this game like you did against South Carolina or Texas. All those games are on the road. I get that. Auburn has shown up and played well, even against Tennessee, when they play at home. But you cannot let that be the only factor and just think you're going to roll all over this team who's playing their best basketball of the season.
Right, and that's the thing that we've highlighted, is this team is playing very, very good and confident basketball.
And I think they are a good team. I really do. I think Oklahoma is a solid, they're a tournament team.
Very much so. Very much so. This could very easily be another one of those games to where Auburn gets up 14 and you're sitting there, okay, a couple stops, a couple baskets, let's put it away, and then I can lean back into the couch rather than leaning forward. And then all of a sudden, you look up, Oklahoma's cut it to 6 or cut it to 7. Auburn pulls it back up to 10. Oklahoma back to 7, back to 11, back to 8. You could very much see a swing like that to where just neither team can get on one of those big-time runs until very late that Auburn's done so, so well. You saw a primary example against Ole Miss last week to where if you watch the game, you don't necessarily feel like it was a double-digit win for Auburn. That being said, you wouldn't look up at the, you wouldn't be too surprised if you looked up at the scoreboard after 40 minutes of play and Auburn wins by 19 and you're sitting there going, well, this felt like it was a 8 to 10 point game throughout the entire course of the contest.
Oklahoma, as of today, moved up in the latest bracketology from ESPN and Joe Lenardi today. On February 4th, they're a 9 seed now, is Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament. Plenty of opportunities for that to move up. The SEC, as of right now, still has 13 teams slated to make the NCAA tournament. The next most is the Big Ten with 10. And that includes the SEC with Georgia and Vanderbilt as the last four byes. So those teams, as of right now, would still get into the NCAA tournament. The only other bubble team for the Southeastern Conference is Arkansas, who is the 8th team out right now. They've got the first four out, the next four out. You've got Arkansas, who's at the bottom of that next four out. Yep. So,
I mean, if Arkansas is able to pick up another big-time win, you could easily see them jump right into the last four in after their win in Lexington. Ole Miss kind of sitting right there looking for a big-time win, hosting Kentucky. A win for them would do wonders because, what, they started 4-0 and are now lost four of their last five. A bunch of these teams coming in playing very different, maybe not styles of basketball, but in very different spots, very different situations. Some trying to continue playing well, continuing to ride the hot streak. Some very much stuttering and need a big-time win, while you feel like others win one, lose one, win one, lose one. So it's crazy to see that despite the crazy amount of different situations that the SEC finds themselves in, there's still 13 teams that are still legitimately in the conversation for playing in March.
We'll make our picks for the games in the SEC and some of the big ones in college basketball. When we come back, we'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Been a great show today. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of the show. We'll have that up for you here in just a little bit on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Great games coming up tonight in the SEC and some big ones around college basketball as well. Auburn, of course, playing the late game in the Southeastern Conference, taking on Oklahoma. That's at 8 o'clock. You can catch the local radio broadcast over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, so be sure you check that out. Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey will be on the air at 7:30. Billy Brad Law, part of that coverage as well, so be sure you check that out 7:30 tonight, pregame with tip-off set for 8 o'clock. The other two games in the SEC, Christian, Vanderbilt, after getting smacked by that Oklahoma team, is on the road in Gainesville, where the Gators are looking for a win. 5-3 in conference play. Still a top 10 team in college basketball, given their loss, their blowout loss on the road to Tennessee. Do the Gators get one back tonight against Vanderbilt in the Swamp?
There's still no complete answer on Walter Clayton Jr.'s injury status. He had to leave the game against Tennessee with an ankle injury. There's talks that he's questionable. He might come back. It's all just based off of how he looks during warmups. To be completely honest, I'm not sure that it matters. Florida is favored by 12.5 points. I don't know if I can go that far.
Is that with or without him, I wonder?
Right now it's probably without, just because of...
You think they're favored by more than that with him?
I do. I think they match up really, really well. I think Florida's bigs are a lot better. And again, I think playing inside the Swamp, playing in Gainesville, plays a big factor as well. If he's not able to play, I'll say that Florida still wins. I think Vanderbilt will keep it close enough, But I think the sixth-ranked team in the country gets it done.
Yeah, I'll take Florida to win, but I'll take Vanderbilt to cover. Why not? I mean, we've seen this Vanderbilt team. When they get hot and they get rolling offensively, they're pretty solid, but they play really hard defensively. I mean, that's what helped them beat Kentucky last week. That's what helped them beat Tennessee earlier in the year. That's what has helped them be in some of these SEC games. And it's when their defense falls apart. Again, they ran into a hot Alabama team with 103 points hung on them. It's the offensive end of the floor where we've seen spurts, but we've seen some really bad offensive play by this Vanderbilt team. And Florida is so good on that end of the floor defensively. I think Florida wins. But just for fun, I'll pick Vanderbilt to cover. They'll keep it within single digits, I think. Or it could be 10 or 11 with some free throws.
I'll give them a backdoor cover, actually.
A backdoor cover for Vanderbilt? I like
Florida
it.
Wins by two touchdowns.
Oh, you're going to give Florida the backdoor cover.
Yes.
Okay. I like it. All right. I'll take Vanderbilt to keep it within 12.5. Kentucky, the 14th-ranked team in the country, after they let Coach Cal walk into his old stomping grounds in Rupp Arena and take down the Cats by 10. They've got to turn it around quickly as they head to Oxford in the Sandy and John Black Pavilion at Ole Miss, where the Rebels are favored by 4.5.
I don't like it. I think we could go back to Lee Sterling with the wrong team favored. Ole Miss has been the team that I can't get behind. That gets, again, I've said it all year long, gets a lot of hype in the preseason. They'll win their first couple games in SEC play, and then things will start crumbling down. I think Mark Pope will have his team ready to respond. A hostile environment, it's a 6 o'clock earlier tip. Give me the 14th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats to win outright.
As bad as I want to pick Ole Miss, because it's just they're still itching for that. Really, other than the Alabama game, which seems like forever ago, yeah. They're itching for that win. They're losers in 4 of their last 5. And it's really hard for me to say that Chris Beard goes 5 out of his last 6, with the only win coming against Texas in a nail-biter in the midweek last week in Oxford. This is their third straight home game. And for me to say they're going to go 1-3 or 1-2 in that stretch, it's really, really hard. I just trust the talent on Kentucky more. I trust the shot makers on Kentucky more. If it's not Padula for Ole Miss, then who is it? And I'm going to take the Cats to get it done on the road in Oxford. Give me Kentucky, wrong team favorite. I think it's a flipped spread. I think Kentucky wins by 5 or more. I would take Kentucky minus 4.5. You're talking serious money right there for entertainment purposes only. I'll take Kentucky to win by 4+ on the road in Oxford tonight.
Sure, I'm right there with you.
Auburn and Oklahoma will pick this one and then let you plug Lee Scott really quickly. The Tigers favored, again, 16.5, 17.5, depending on where you look. Tigers are favored by a lot. The number one team in the country. They host Oklahoma coming up tonight. Your pick on this one, Auburn and Oklahoma.
Again, I feel like it's one of those games that's going to go back and forth, hovering that 4-5 possession line throughout the entire course of the game. You've yet to see Auburn completely pull away from a team in a while. You feel like they almost get up by double digits, settle for a couple possessions, kick it back into gear, and then you feel like that's kind of the ebbs and flow of the game. So I think that's kind of what I expect it to be tonight. Auburn will make that run late in the game, especially at home. By no means would I be surprised, or would we come on here shocked saying, oh my goodness, Auburn won by 21 last night. Wouldn't be the shocked person to be able to say that. I think Oklahoma keeps it close enough. Auburn, again, you feel like they'll hit that cruise control button a little bit. I'd love it if they didn't. I'll take Auburn to win, but I'll take OU to cover somewhere around a 12 or 13-point game for Auburn.
Porter Moser right now, currently in his 4th year in Norman, he's 70-50 in his time at Oklahoma. And right now, they're in a struggle. They are still a tournament team, but they're looking for that big win, too. I have a feeling that Auburn rolls in this game. I think Auburn, you'll see them get out to one of those 10-12-0 runs to start, maybe a couple Chad Baker threes, maybe a Janai three, possibly even a Denver Jones three from the corner. Oklahoma's going to have to call a timeout, and Auburn very well, and this sounds so homerish, but Auburn very well could drop 100 tonight. Like, they're returning home. They've played bad basketball up to, according to their standards. I think Auburn rolls. I think Auburn could flirt with 100. I think they cover a spread. They win by 20-plus. Auburn looks like the number one team in the country tonight for the first time in a long time, and they prepare for a top-10 game in Florida coming up this weekend.
Love it. Again, I wouldn't be too surprised. I don't think too many people would if we came in here and were just crazy with a win that Auburn won by double digits. Speaking of tonight, some more big basketball games over on Academy Drive. The Lee Scott Academy Warriors, varsity girls and varsity boys, both hosting the area tournament, now play in the area championship. No better way you could ask for it. The best of three, Lee Scott and Glenwood for the one seed in the area championship. You can catch all of the broadcast on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, the Radio Alabama app, all of that for you tonight. Tip-off scheduled for 6 o'clock with the varsity girls. We'll go on air right around 5:45 or 5:50 on Tiger Country 104.5.
So be sure you check that out. And again, Auburn University men's basketball will be on Wings 94.3, pregame 7:30 with tip-off set for 8 against Oklahoma. And we're back tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. For Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.